So welcome back to the second session on the last day of Change Leadership Master Plan Live. And we've still got some good meaty stuff to get into, that is a little bit more of the academic. But I also want you to get into doing a little bit of the planning, because as some really smart person said, and I think some of you might remember when I said this, and I'll pull it up. Let me pull this in. Share this. What gets scheduled gets done. You know, simple little statement. But it's part of the reality. And then these days, with our calendars on our phones, but integrate with our computers, it should be pretty easy to schedule the things that are really important. And that can include things like when you meet with somebody, say, yeah, we should connect. I'll see you later. Or we should connect. So I'm going to pull out my calendar. What day would work for you? There's a difference. It's just little stuff. But we don't always do what is good to do. And if in the moment you say, yeah, we should connect, and you kind of know, well, yeah, we should connect, but it's not your top priority, then you can just leave it at that as a gesture of goodwill. But if it really is a person that either, or a relationship that needs to be built, and you need to be responsible for the building of the relationship. You can't make the relationship, but you are responsible for it. Then I would recommend that you schedule it then and there. You can always change the schedule, pencil it in, so to speak, and then change it later. Although probably one of these days, penciling something in won't mean anything to people. But in the meantime, it still means something, I think. Do you guys use that phrase at all? Pencil it in? Sort of, maybe, occasionally. Okay, put it in a light gray. Not in bold, okay. Anyway, so, but the simple point here is that get things scheduled, gets things done. Now, I'm not certain that I went over the peel. I think I referenced it with you guys, but it's just this little simple cycle, peel. We're not peeling an onion, we're not peeling an orange here, but it's just simply plan, execute, engage, learn. It's part of this cyclical process. It's just simply acknowledging that there's this ongoing iterative process toward reaching our goals. You make a plan, you set it in motion, especially in the context of OKRs, which we'll get to, then the important next step is to really make sure that this is an engagement level, and therefore you talk with other people in your team. Now, if this is you just setting up your own plans, your execution, you know, the engagement is more, you know, really sit with the issue for a little bit, then you think about what it is that you learn from it, and then you adjust your plan for the next phase. So plan, execute, engage, learn, plan, execute, engage, learn. There is that. And that you'll see a pat when if we get to it, and if not, you know, for another time, the solutions matrix, which really helps with the personal, emotional sort of stuff a little bit more, there is still the same kind of cyclical process around a core goal. So for the OKRs, the core in here, the core goals are the goals of the organization, the company. So of course you're planning around your core purposes and mission. So OKRs, what are they? Just very quickly, I suspect, Fernanda, you've heard of OKRs? No? Yeah. I don't know whether you've ever used them, you've been in a group that's operated with them. You may have academically learned about them. And I am simply saying that this is, one of the more exceptional, simple processes that can help not only with your goals and, goal setting, but when you implement it across the silos, for example. Should Women's Federation Grace be able to implement this organization-wide, then this is the mechanism that allows you to create in a transparent and open and reviewable way that that helps pull everything into alignment. Of course, it won't happen overnight, but when it's implemented and then there is that iterative process, that peel, plan, execute, engage with people, review what happened, and so that then you can learn and then together make the next level of planning, then that is the mechanism when it's scheduled into your system through your long-term goals, your annual goals, your quarterly goals, and your weekly, for example, and all of these things are totally adaptable to your organization, but they're guidelines, they're another template of sorts that you then start to utilize in order to implement this kind of transparency that is otherwise, it's not like people really always planned on going into silos, but there was no mechanism in place to make it any other way. So when you actually put in place a mechanism that allows the kind of transparency and cross-fertilization of understanding, insight, sharing of one another's goals, and seeing the big picture together. And then because we are meaning makers, human beings tend to make meaning out of things. We see all of those things. We see patterns that are meaningful to us. You know, the Rorschach test, what is that? You know, it's an ink blot. We make meanings out of ink blots, good grief. You know, that's, we're wired for whatever reason. We human beings make meaning out of ink blots. You know, but that's one of the ways that people historically have used to try to plumb the depths of people's inner world to see how they perceived something. But so this kind of thing then gives us a way. Because then you can actually, the part of the purpose of these objectives is to be transparent. And so even today, there's various kinds of software out there for the enterprise level. And it's really more useful at the enterprise level when you've got a larger organization, but that helps facilitate the tracking and ability to see all of these goals across the organization so that it is transparent. What's the purpose of transparency and of seeing and observing? Is that, again, it's kind of like walking into that space that we were talking about before, whether it be with the diplomats or whether it be into your own organization or whether it be into one of your beneficiaries' lives. When you can look and see what people are thinking and working on, sometimes it sparks an idea, or what it does is it says, oh, I see how I'm working on that, but from this perspective. Or maybe they're not even thinking of, maybe the person in Geneva is not necessarily thinking about the work on women, on women from the perspective that people are in Vienna, because in Vienna they're working with UNODC, the UN Office of Drugs and Crime, and they're more focused on the legal side of things. Geneva's more focused on the human rights side of things, but those two need to be talking together. I can see that both of them are doing this, or maybe if they could see that both of them are working on a women's issue, they could be collaborating more. And that happens even in the same organization, let alone outside. our organizations. But this specifically is, this whole process is useful at the personal level, at the team level, at the organizational level, whether you're a small and medium business size or whether you're enterprise level. This kind of process is just now being adopted. Well, it may have been in place, but some of the software to do this is just being adopted by Apple. Now, Apple is a huge company. But they're getting to the stage of where they're wanting to make sure that everybody across the organization is utilizing their OKRs, and I'm sure they'll adapt it and make it their own and all of that sort of stuff. But they still need the ways to, when you're such a large enterprise, you do literally need software help to make it possible that you can go in and see what that, find an interesting part of that organization and find out what they are doing. But because they're all listed, then you can see. You don't have to find the person, track them down, ask them what they're working on. Just, you know, in very quickly, if you know that that's of interest or concern, you can even do a search to find out what it is, what part of the organization is working on this, and when it's relevant, when it's important, either for collecting of data or if it's from making connections even within your own organization, you can see what is, you know, one of the top 3 to 5 issues for them at this time or in the year. So it just facilitates incredible cross-pollination, engagement, discussion, opportunity to be aware and for the organization itself to become aligned. And as we know, when our everyday light, again, the sun pours out umpteen dozens of billions of megawatts of power, but you line up just a few totally in sync, specific frequencies of light and have them all pulsing right at the same time, that laser even run from, okay, maybe not quite a AAA battery, but probably something a little bit smaller than the sun can slice through diamond, whereas the sunlight cannot slice through diamond because it's totally scattered and all over the place. Now, I'm grateful the sun is not slicing us into slicing and dicing us. But the point there is just that it just points out the power of focus, the power of alignment, and the potential of that. So when we are wanting to make an impact, when we are wanting to ensure that our limited resources, our limited AAA battery resources can make the kind of impact that we want, that's all the more reason why we do. Our limited resources need to be aligned to have that kind of impact. So the OKRs that I've been mentioning are just simply objectives and key results. So what it does, for example, on the team level, it just, you know, you can start with the team level, and I recommend usually either to start at your personal level and test this out and start to, you know, build a little OKR muscle, so to speak. Otherwise, if you've got a team to work with, start by setting your goals. Start and set, you know, review your annual goal. Okay, now we're right at the beginning of October. We've got October, November, December. You've got a 3-month period to the end of this year. Make a quarterly goal. Maybe your timetable is a little different, and that's fine. Whatever works, but chunk it down so that it's not a year. A year is too long. A month is probably too short for really achieving certain things, and you want to be able to give yourself enough time to achieve notable things. You need to be able to track your goals in the course of that month. But so make quarterly goals. So what do you want your team to achieve by the end of this year? And the way And those goals, in a way, your quarterly goals should be milestones for your annual goals. And your annual goals should be milestones for perhaps some kind of a 5-year, or, you know, blue sky, as they call them, or moonshot goals, or big, you know, hairy, aggressive goals, you know, your BHAG. People name these things all different ways. But the point there is to have big, bold goals. But make sure you then chunk it down at least to annual. And as we could see, for most people who had a goal for 2020, what, by February, March, it was blown apart for a lot of people. and that's the pace at which things happen now. So, you know, we have to be ready to adapt and pivot. That's just the nature of our world. However, we still need to know. I'm headed to P-Town. I'm in Gloucester, Massachusetts, and my destination is Provincetown, and I want to get there. Okay, maybe you hit a storm right out in the middle of Massachusetts Bay, and you decide, uh-oh, I've got to head for the closest piece of shore. Where is the closest shoreline? And then you head for a beeline there. But then still later on, you'll have to adapt and still make your way towards P-Town. So long-term goals, your big, hairy, aggressive goals, your moonshot goals, your blue sky, whatever it is that you want, make sure that you do have them. But when you're setting up your objectives, and this is part of how you're setting up your OKRs, or your objectives and key results. So in a way, it's very simple. You've got your objective, for example, at the quarterly level. Make sure that they're short and inspirational. I mean, you've got to want to work towards your goals. If you turn it into make sure I've done every boring report that I could ever not want to do. If, however, you connect it to, you know, to what that allows you to do so that it's inspirational, make sure you collect all the reports for, and this is where your larger goals, your annual goals or whatever come in, so that you, maybe you've got an objective to make, you know, to make 5 really, really tight relationships with, you know, one of the, or a group of ambassadors at the UN. And so maybe one of your goals for the quarter could be to have, you know, to have had the report ready on all of the work that's been done in Nigeria, and your other NGO contacts that you have connections with, so that when you go to the Nigerian ambassador, you can report on all of these things and be comprehensive and inclusive. And, you know, anyway, distill that down. You've got that in the back of your mind, but make it short and inspirational so that you can meet the ambassador and add him to your support group, you know, one of your key supporters for the organization, whatever it is. Make it so that it's short, identifiable in terms of where you're wanting to go. Now, when you're in an organization, usually, you know, your enterprise, your group, your team will make 3 to 5 fairly high level objectives, you know, beyond the, and again, this is not your to-do list. These are your objectives. These are things that will help you get to your goals. And for those of you who are in the Impact and Influence course, we went through that whole process of setting up, you know, both measurable, quantitative and qualitative measures for what we wanted to achieve. So we have to think in terms of what are our objectives. And this comes back to our mission statement. Where are we going with our mission? So I hope that's clear enough. But at the quarterly level, you usually have 3 to 5, because you're not just working on one thing. You've got a number of factors. So for example, this last quarter, probably Grace needs you know, prep for the General Assembly. Plus, she was having to still do all kinds of other things. She had other areas of work. So there were probably, you know, make sure that you've got your internship program trainers in place or whatever else. So you've got your other main areas, and maybe you had a goal to increase the number of interns for that training in this quarter, or to find new trainers for your interns. I don't know what they were, but the point is you might have, and here the operative thing is 3 to 5. In each quarter, set 3 to 5 objectives. And yes, they should be ambitious. They shouldn't be just, you know, they can be done because that's what you did last time. Challenge yourself a little. Make it exciting. Make it, you know, so that you have to think about whether or not you can make it. Or in the last minute, you said you were going to do it. What of all stops are you prepared to pull out in order to reach that slightly ambitious, challenging goal? Let's really make it happen. And of course, choosing the right objectives. And this here, again, can only be understood. You can only know that it's a right objective if you've got some clarity around your mission and your purpose. And ideally, again, this is your X factor coming into play in here. When you're clear about your objectives, and it shouldn't be an objective that you could do, it should be an objective that really lines up and helps you do what needs to be done so that you can zero in on that sweet spot of your X factor. And so this is part of the way all of these things interplay. The more you're clear on your X factor, the more your objectives and key results can help you hone in and focus and amplify your impact. So your objectives and your key results, basically the simple sentence that helps you structure this, the template for how you figure out how to set up, how do I do my objectives and key results? And you say, the sentence is, and you just have to finish the sentence, I will add another 3, either, you know, 3 solid ambassadors to my support team, my ambassadorial support team, if that happened to be an objective you had to one of your larger goals for the year or for your 5 years, as measured by, and I will increase my number of ambassadors as measured by, and it could be 3 or it could be 5, and you could be more specific to say, they are, maybe they're just prospects at this stage, or maybe you've secured them. But you identify exactly what you mean so that you know when you've reached the goal or not. So you don't, for example, just say, I'm going to meet more ambassadors. Well, that's nice. And I'm just using it, Grace, I don't mean to, I'm not pulling you, calling you out at all. It's just an easy, you're up there and you're up there and on my screen. And it's just an easy kind of topic that makes an example that's easy to measure. So I will increase my number of ambassadorial supporters by... And if you call ambassadorial supporters, or you could say, add them to my ambassadors working group on the girl child, just say, because they're just some things I've heard. I'm not necessarily saying this is a good thing to do at all. I haven't thought about it. The context is important here. But for that, to answer specifically that, I will increase the number of ambassadors or diplomats working on my working group on girl by three, or I will meet a, I will get a new list of potential ambassadors, diplomats who can potentially be on the girls working group by 10. The point is you make it clear what it is and have some kind of measure, way to measure what it is that you're doing. And of course, yes, it should be aligned with your goals. And you should be able to get to the end of these 3 months, the end of December, and say, well, I got 90% of the way there, or I totally lost track of that and I didn't do it. Now, you get to the end of the 3 months and you just say that was what happened. You didn't do anything toward it. You have to stop and think, well, either that goal was not at all important to what I'm doing, or I totally messed up in terms of putting onto my schedule or making sure, if this is a top priority and you totally didn't get anywhere on it, you know that there's a problem there. Whereas you could have gone those 3 months and not have known that there was a problem there. So I will objective as measured by your key results. And those key results for each objective can be a number of key results or a clarifying description of what those key results are. And ideally, if the objective is kind of big enough, you'll have probably at least three ways to triangulate the way you would actually achieve that. Because you might want to also acknowledge that, and that, and each of those diplomats are thrilled, really excited to be working on this. They're not just being dragged, you know. And how do you make them excited? There are some very interesting ways to get these guys to be excited about stuff, but I'll save that. So that's too specific about the UN, and I'll leave that for another time. But there really are ways to get these people involved and engaged and happy to be there. But the point is, this is where the triangulation piece comes in too. You often need different ways to assess how well you do. And they can be quantitative, qualitative, and things that are important to you and to your mission. So, you know, it could be an increased number of beneficiaries. It could be an increased number of board members. It could be an increased number. And then you don't just say more board members. You say, I want to get by December, I want to have at least one new board member and two other board members who were pretty okay to be on the board, but I want to get them fully ready. I want to take them on that board member journey to the point where they are fully engaged and on fire for our organization. And then you can tease that out. You can explain it in your own, what's meaningful to you. And you could have additional ways that you would measure that. But the main point is that you do have your different ways. So make sure that part of what this is doing is making your goals tangible. So that when you wake up on the 1st of January, after you've finished that quarter, you wake up and you can see you've got the board member that I've got one new board member and I've got two of them on fire and I can't keep them quiet anymore. They keep calling me with ideas. They're driving me nuts. New wonderful problem. But the point is, by January 1st, you know that you've achieved that goal. Now, if it was pretty easy to achieve that goal, you know that in the next quarter, what are you going to do? You're going to up that goal just a little, because it wasn't maybe ambitious enough. So what's this doing? This is multiplying, this is amplifying the potential. Now, of course, you know, you have to add in there a little bit of thinking about it, and you've got to analyze it, and you've got to decide whether maybe you've got enough board members. Okay, so now we move on to the next phase of that planning. So these, again, I've kind of already been going over this, but the key results are the deliverables that you define for each objective. And each objective will have something that is very, very clear and specific about it. So that, and all of this is so that you can measure your progress towards achieving that goal. And each objective should have those 2 to 5 key results. And the key results here are those, what I call also the triangulation, those bits of information that allow you to triangulate your success, whether you've reached that waypoint, that milestone on your journey or not. And they need to be measurable, not just necessarily in terms of numbers, but it could be, as I said, measurable in terms of to the point where these people are just so on fire that they are totally committed, as distinct from still being a board member, but you have to drag them to every board meeting and you're not even certain that they're going to show up. So that is you translate it into a measurable so that you know when you have been successful with that board member, even though it's not you can't just put it, or maybe you could say on a scale of 1 to 10, that board member is committed. And so you could scale that board member at least an 8 to 10. That would be another way of giving it a number. But ideally you also have some of those other more, experiential kinds of ways of assessing whether that result has been achieved. So again, we say I will, an objective, as measured by, I will, reach this objective as measured by the key results. And then the key results have those number of, a number of key results for each objective. So, these were just some of the examples that I used during the class. I just gave a few more as we were talking through this. And then at the end of that quarter, when you review, now going back to this planning, executing, engaging, and learning. So the planning begins at the end of each month with your setting of your goals. Of course, throughout that quarter, you're going to be executing different aspects of that work all along the way. The engagement piece comes in when, ideally, when you're working on teams or with a group of people, at least at a weekly level, you kind of have a check-in. This is the engagement piece. And you find out from those on your team, and each, you have your team OKRs, and then each person on that team has their OKRs for those objectives, the team objectives, for example. So you, Grace, in the UN office, might, if you've got a team that's working on interns, say, I don't know, but you might have those who do the training. You may have your trainers. So they would be responsible for something different in this quarter than you would be in the UN office, although your objectives together would be similar to upgrade your intern experience or whatever it is. So that part of this is you engage with the relevant parties. And each objective, each quarterly objective will have, different people can get pulled into those objectives. It's not like every team member is involved in every OKR. Does that make sense? So again, all of this is just that it's according to the goals and the objectives. You have your teams and those that you work with, but you always, you know, but you have your weekly check-in on that issue, on that particular objective. You do a quick, you know, it's just like your stand-up meetings. They're just short. You don't sit down and grab your coffee and you know, talk over what happened last weekend and then eventually get to the, you just, it's just a check-in you have, and it can be done easily on Zoom or wherever. You find out what they did during the week towards their goals. If they're having any challenges, can anybody help one another with that? Are the goals reasonable or not reasonable? Where is it going with all of this? You know, just so that you can keep that on track. And then if you realize, you can even realize mid quarter that either the objective was too hard to reach or too small. So all of this is iterative. But the perspective behind it is always to challenge yourself, always to have teams stretching. And so that when, and you can have urgent, you know, for example, in March when COVID kind of started to jump in, that would have been a prime time to have, you know, an emergency meeting for the organization to start and set up thinking about how are we going to be dealing with it. It's going to be changing week at a time, but even there, shall we have a team that is working on what are we going to be doing as this kind of stuff hits the fan? It's going to change our plans for international conferences. It's going to change the plans for how we meet and work with our volunteers, whatever topic it might be. You can form your group, set up your objectives of the group, and then have this kind of iterative process ongoing. Does anybody have any questions on these OKRs at this time? In a way, it's so very, very simple, but in a way, this is so very, very powerful, and part of it is just simply getting comfortable with it, learning how to write your OKRs, get good at that. Part of when I asked you, for example, yesterday, to start working on your X factors, you know, this whole process of distilling down to one sentence that is tangible and yet inspirational and all that sort of stuff is part of this ongoing process that we need to get good at. Can I just take one moment? I've got an interesting situation that happens at about this time every day. The sun comes through a window that I can't pull a blind down on. It hits my computer, heats it up, and then my computer starts to go wonky. I need to put a sweatshirt on my computer, so it doesn't overheat. Hold on. It's actually a sweatshirt and a fan I put behind here. Kind of interesting situation, but it is what it is. It's a really nice window. It's just that it's high. And it's just this time of the year when the sun comes down to a certain level. I haven't lived in this house for very long. And we won't be here after January. We have to move again. But this time of the year, the sun comes in and my computer starts to go wonky. I guess computers don't like city. They're not sun worshippers. Okay, so questions about this? And then I'm going to ask you to set some again, to try to set some, since we're at the beginning of October, some quarterly goals for yourself personally. And it could be, and just one objective. So I'm going to ask you to set a personal goal objective in relation to your X factor. so that it's aligned with, you know, that element that we worked on yesterday. Does anybody have any questions, or do you want, I can just put up those, the objectives and key results, the very simple questions. I mean, the question is very simple. I will objective as measured by, and have, I'm going to just ask you to do one objective, and but to have a number of key results, how you would measure the results, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those. Any questions before you get going? Otherwise, I want you to practice writing your own objectives and key results aligned with your X factor for yourself to be completed by December 31st, 2020. Okay, I'll give you 3 minutes to work on this. And there we go. About 30 seconds. Do you want more time, or is that good? Enough time, or do you want more time? Okay, a little bit more time, Danielle. Okay, so I'll give you another 2 minutes. It's good to sit with this for a bit. Okay. So who would like to go first? Anybody like to share their OKRs for December 31st, 2020 of this wonderful, exciting, different year? By the way, I was thinking that January 1st, I might send an email to each one of you and say, hey, how did that one objective that we went over during Change Leaders Master Plan Live, how did you go? How about that? That's the accountability part, Daniela. I will check in with you guys on January 1st. I'll send you an email. And I hope you will respond to me. And you can just say thumbs up, thumbs down, or yeah, actually it was amazing, or you know. And I can say Happy New Year. So there you go. That's accountability. So that this is not just an exercise, but it's something that you work on. So anybody want to share what they wrote?
Okay, one of the things I wrote down is that I would hold one sensitization / awareness program to commemorate the Cancer Awareness Month. And the other one is that we would increase the number of training programs, three training programs between by December 31st on case management for our volunteers.
Did you identify, when you say increase, is that by like 10% or 2 times, you know, can you give it
No, we will actually hold it. I removed the word increase, that we hold. We'll hold three programs.
Got it. Yeah, very good. Because then when you get there at the end, if you had just said increase without adding the number, then one would have been okay, 10 would have been okay. But if you had said three and you really do three, then you can send up the fireworks.
Right.
Very good, Ifani. Thank you. And you'll know when you get there. You'll know when you do that. You'll have either done an event or not, and you'll have either increased your number of those training programs by three or not. And then you can assess whether, you know, as you go through the month, you'll be able to see, well, that was a good idea, but three is going to be just about impossible given what's going on the streets of Ohio now. Because, you know, who knows what's going to happen next month. But, but the point is, without those goals, you're not even going to have those focus. The chances are you're not going to have that clarity and that focus, and therefore you won't do it. Fantastic. What I would like each of you to do is maybe type into the chat.
Okay.
Your goal, the goals that each one of you, the specific goal, so that then when I come back to you at the end of the year, I'm reminded about your objectives and key results, and then I'll be able to celebrate with you. Also, by the way, I'm. James is letting me know, and I hope you don't mind me sharing it with everybody, James. I suspect that it's not a problem, but his saying his goal is to develop a program that will empower 200 highly at-risk young people with skills, knowledge, and confidence to advance their rights and views to take part in decision-making in 5 rural areas within the Abuja Municipal Council. Within the 5, anyway, everybody can see that within those areas. So, James, will you have that program developed? Will you have held that program by that time? Will you have held at least a beta program for that? Will you have held the program for that? Or will you have just developed the program and have set a date for holding the program? Can you see how there are ways to nail down more specifically your objectives so you know more precisely what you're doing? So if you get a chance, hope the program to start by January 2021. Great. Because so then by the end of December, you are prepared so that you can start your program in January 2021. So that's the way James would write that OKR more precisely. Now then, as you go forward, James, what you would also need to do is to clarify at each of those levels. When you say empower, so 200 highly at-risk youth, the 200 number is fantastic. When you say empower, that's where it's good to start and hold and clarify what empower means as measurable. Because empowering somebody is, an advocacy appeal for accomplishing a goal. It might be more like train young people with speaking skills centered around their human rights. And the knowledge they need is to understand more about the Human Rights Charter. And so that they know they have, you know, the support, you know, the moral support sort of the United Nations behind them. So when you write goals, it's really important to bring them down to very, very specific, measurable results, so that you know, yes, the skill that they gained is they could articulate their rights better, that they had the confidence to articulate that, and they knew that they had the support of the United Nations because this was in the charter, the Human Rights Charter. So you get very specific in the goals that you set. So I hope that's helpful, James. Okay. Someone else. Thank you, Afani.
Me. So my main goal, my objective is to have a fully built and constituted company. And the key results that I considered is to have a registered brand, to have all the paperwork done to like actually exist in the eyes of the law, and to have a fully working functioning webpage. And by December 31st, to have provided my service at least once.
Cool. They're all measurable.
And what? Having at least 2 clients.
Fantastic. We will see all of that. Now, had you had that goal before this weekend?
Roughly?
You had
somehow in the back of my head, but not like grounded and written down and structured. But I like the company is a project that I'm working on that I have no problem sharing if it's okay.
Sure.
I'm associated with a friend. I studied entertainment and he is an environmental engineer. So we're creating a sustainable consulting company focused on events to offset their carbon mm-hmm. footprint.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So yeah, we're working on that. And we want to, even though there's not much entertainment happening in Mexico, there are a lot of like drive-in sort of events.
Right.
And we want to take advantage of that because we realized that most part of the carbon footprint comes from the cars and transportation. So if we can take advantage of events that have like a very exact number of cars and don't have to estimate, we can provide more exact result, like more accurate results. So we're working on that. And we would like to start functioning before December 3rd.
Anyway, all of this just is, by the time, now that you've got this written down and you've got dates associated.
Action
starts to happen.
Okay. Yeah, we have been trying to work on dates, but since a lot of things don't really depend completely on us, we haven't been able to like be very, like, for example, we wanted to have the brand registered by the end of last month, mm-hmm. and we got the logos that mm-hmm. we last night, like the proposals for the different logos. So we're trying, we're making an effort.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And just on that, I don't know the how-tos of this. I'm just aware that, for example, a whole nother venue for online exposure of entertainment, and that is through Facebook's Oculus, the VR space. You might want to explore that sometime if you're not driving into places, if this stuff lasts a little longer and people don't drive into places. It's just another venue. And how it works, just people all over the world, they have access to the VR headset and they hold events. Now, how that plays out at this stage, it's probably still more promotional level for Oculus / Facebook, but that's another arena you might want to explore, just as a, because not everybody will be working in that space yet.
Yeah, and in Mexico, they have started to try like streaming concerts and plays and musicals, mm-hmm. and it's gotten like a very divided feedback. Like mm-hmm. people either or like really enjoy it and appreciate it, or people like refuse to like give it a chance.
Right.
So it's been a weird transition.
And I think that's because you've got people used to doing things one way and other people who are willing to explore other ways. So yeah. And they're just decision points for what you do. Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, so that's going to be exciting to hear how all of that goes in the next 3 months. Thank you, Danielle. Big steps.
Okay, so what I thought about, my main objective will be for these for following months I would like to have the foundations of my social project mm-hmm. by December. So some of the results I think I should achieve in order to fulfill this objective would be to have a defined business plan, to form the team that will be leading the initiative, and to have a well-defined value proposition.
Wonderful. Very good. Yeah, if you get your team in place and you know what you're working on and the value of what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important thing, that you get to really have something that, well, to have an objective and to have people that will be working with you and that really believes in what you're doing. So I think that must be like the first part in order to start thinking on other objectives, like once you have started working on the project. And right now I may have like a lot of ideas and some friends and colleagues that are interested in working on it, but we haven't settled down everything. So I think that's the first thing we should do in order to start thinking on how are we going to execute it.
Right. And one of the, as you were speaking, one of the things that I realized that I maybe had not said it is that having these key objectives, you know, these 3 to 5 main objectives for the quarter, doesn't mean you don't have other things going on or that you're not working on other things at all. But the point of having these key objectives is for you to have identified what are the core things, the most important, most essential, most strategic things to do first in order to pursue your goals. So, you know, if other things happen to get developed along the line because you've got the opportunity and the time and you need to be doing them as well, that's fantastic and wonderful. This is not saying don't do anything else other than these objectives. I just want to make that clear, that these objectives help anchor and create that, you know, that core framework for what you are doing. So that if you've got a choice between working on your core objective or working on something else, and you've only got a certain amount of time left, you can be disciplined enough to work on your core objective, even if it's not the most fun thing to do right at this moment. It's not the most fun thing to go and deal with all the legal pieces or, you know, put in all your costs and expenses and come up with your budget or whatever else that might not be quite as sexy and as fun and as exciting as actually speaking to other entertainers or some of your potential key players, according to which, you know, whoever's objectives you're looking at. But these core four, you know, they, you have decided these are the most important, these are your strategic ones for this quarter at this time in order for you to get towards your goals and objectives of having the greatest impact. So that they give you those, that, you know, litmus test all the way along the line, that you can say, okay, I feel like doing this today, but maybe not. Maybe I'd really better, you know, fulfill this key objective. And you can help guide. You can say, hey, you know, colleague, friend, partner, we really need to get this done by this time. How's your piece coming along? And you do that especially in the context, if you're in larger groups, of your check-in each week. So it's a way to keep them, you have, when you've got this, and your colleague, partner, team members also have this clearly, that you've made this agreement that this is your objective. Here we just did it. You're just doing this. But in your business environment, then you will set, you would then go and have this conversation with your key partner and say, okay, is this really, you know, a fine objective? So for example, Daniela could come back to me on January 1st and say, well, this was my goal. My partner actually decided that we needed to get this done by the end of October. So this is what we did. Or they, you know, could say, well, actually, you know, they got sick and their grandma, whatever, and they decided that they couldn't get this done. And so we changed our goals or whatever. So when you're working with a team, you of course have to have team OKRs, and then yours fit your specific role and responsibility fit within that. But yeah, there are all, and there are always these other things going on as well. And these are your strategic objectives that you set. Cool. Wonderful.
For me, as usual, I struggled, but
that's good. you're wrestling with the issue.
It's, yeah. It's, Yeah. So I guess like this is, I don't know if this is a personal goal because I don't really know if I have the capacity to own it completely, mm-hmm. right? It's contingent on others. But what's coming up is I will develop a cohesive message and strategy across the UN offices for this quarter. I mean, or plan, maybe yep. strategy is too, yeah. As measured by interviewing the IVPs and also office staff across the three offices in their perspectives and engaging the UN team in this conversation. Developing a working group to consolidate findings of the co-founder of our organization just came out with a memoir earlier this month, and so not month, year, and so we've been doing a study group across the UN offices to kind of reflect on the key points and key messages that are coming out. So the next step there would be to create a working group from that to kind of more like develop actual positions based upon what was discussed and what came out from that. And then the third thing is
student scroll.
One of those like ideas under that idea would be kind of like setting up a project to develop position points for each of the areas of focus of our UN offices at the United Nations, and then engaging the UN offices in this conversation to see if we can have a strategy session where like we discuss the Peel and OKRs, and then based upon that frame, discuss the 7-year plan that was just mm-hmm. submitted and see what we can do. Yeah.
Wonderful. Anyway, I think the key thing there is you've identified your objective. You've got your main key results. As you go through and engage this, it'll give you the feedback that you need to see how in the next quarter you need to adjust your planning. Mm-hmm. And you may come back and say, okay, well, this was the plan, but I realize I actually need to engage some other stakeholders in the conversation, perhaps, in order to see this all the way through. Or maybe everything will go according to that. And mm-hmm. just the fact that you've mapped it out, you've made the plan, and you start working on it, you'll begin to initiate a process that clarifies things that otherwise would have remained muddy. Cool. Very good. So struggle is good. So if you would put that, great. So I've now got that from everybody so that now when I follow up January 1st, I'm gonna say, hey, Fanye, did you do that? Okay, so it's about time for lunch now for those of us who are about to have lunch. So then after lunch, we're going to go, I've got some other things for us to do, and including, I think we're going to do this Wheel of Names right at 11:30 my time, whatever half an hour is for you guys. Okay. So we'll see you back soon at the half hour. Thank you very much, everybody.